Since the end of the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears have brought in a handful of veteran free agents with experience at some of their key positions of need.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at LockedOnBears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today, and hopefully every day. On the show today, we check in on some of the recent veterans brought in after the draft by general manager Ryan Poles. We'll start with the offensive tackle, Sean Coleman, who's been a 16-game starter at right tackle before in his NFL career, but it's been a while, and there's been some availability challenges since then. We'll kind of check in on where he fits in this offensive tackle depth chart and competition. Then we'll turn our attention to a pair of wide receivers, both former draft picks with some real promise for their respective teams that never really panned out and took those next steps forward, but Chicago potentially a fresh start to try and tap into something there that maybe they haven't been able to do up to this point in their careers. And we wrap up with the quarterback we have to talk about, Nathan Peterman, and how it's hard to find very many or any good reasons as to why he's the third string quarterback. And we'll also say goodbye to fan favorite tight end Jesper Horsted, who was waived and then technically sort of brought back, but waived again. And his time in Chicago is essentially done for the foreseeable future. And we'll sort of say goodbye to a fan favorite there. But we'll start with offensive tackle Sean Coleman, because he's the one with the most sort of like bona fide starting role at this key position for the Chicago Bears. And there's a kind of a big caveat on that, right? It's very generous to sort of, you know, selectively say, well, Sean Coleman was a 16-game starter for the Cleveland Browns because that was 5 years ago, 2017. And it feels weird that 2017 has already been 5 years ago, but, you know, the calendars have been crazy the last couple of years, and the months just, it's hard to keep track of when, what day and what month it is, you know, so often. But Sean Coleman, you know, in 2017, or I guess before that, in 2016, he was the Browns' third-round pick out of Auburn, a fairly promising prospect, and you know, got in a couple games his rookie season, took over as that starter in year two, and played, you know, okay, starting caliber, maybe below average starting caliber right tackle, but wasn't a turnstile, wasn't a complete abomination or anything. Clearly, I think a player the Browns, you know, wanted more from, or wanted to have, you want a slightly better right tackle ideally, but he got the job done for them in that spot. Some ups and downs along the way, but for a second year player, third round pick, overall not terrible. The following season, I think, you know, they had brought in some competition and had some different options there, and ultimately ended up trading him right before the start of the regular season to the 49ers for a late round draft pick. And I think that first season in 2018, he didn't really get into the lineup for the 49ers at all. And then the following year, 2019, has an ankle injury and misses the whole year on injured reserve. So out all of 2019 with an injury, comes back for 2020, chooses to opt out for the COVID year. So not an injury, but still another season, a third straight season of him not on the field. And then this past season, 2021, 49ers put him on IR again and ended up releasing him from injured reserve, you know, early in the season to just sort of let him go and try and get healthy and maybe sign somewhere else. He did end up on the Indianapolis Colts practice squad at the very, very end of the year, still with Matt Eberflus, but not really much crossover there. Apparently enough to want to bring him back to Chicago, potentially, but Colts released him just a couple weeks ago. Bears brought him in now just a couple of days ago. And so, realistically, when you look at Coleman's like recent history, right, you can see where take a flyer on a guy who was a starting caliber offensive tackle, right tackle, and maybe you could bring him in, and if he can stay healthy, you could try and see if he could get back to that level of play in a competition with the young players that you already have on the roster. And earlier this offseason, they signed Julianne Davenport, a former Texans draft pick who was with the Dolphins and then the Colts also with Matt Eberflus a couple years ago. And so Davenport, not a guy that I would consider a high-quality offensive lineman, but another one of these like draft picks that might still have some potential. So at worst, Coleman fizzles out and doesn't do anything, and at best, there is potential for a starting caliber player here, and at least he kind of gives you another option in that competition with Larry Borum and with Tevin Jenkins, right? It's one of those positions that, yes, they did use four draft picks on late-round picks on the offensive line, but you wouldn't expect them to necessarily be ready to make major contributions in year one. Although I think there is some optimism or promise or hope in Braxton Jones, the fifth round pick, the first of the offensive linemen they took out of Southern Utah, that maybe he could be sort of this draft class's Larry Borum to get into that starting lineup maybe earlier rather than later. But again, that's a lot to expect from a draft pick of that round. But when you start to just compile, like, okay, if you think of them as like offensive line lottery tickets, that maybe Sean Coleman could get back to something good and staying healthy, or maybe not, but a lottery ticket type thing. Maybe your rookie fifth round pick could be a week one starter and be a great player. Maybe not, right? You start to add these types of guys of like, okay, we'll see if there's something more we can untap out of here and get some real value and some real luck with not a lot of risk of, okay, if any of them individually don't work out, you're not going to lose a lot on that specific player. The risk there is that, you know, none of them work out and you don't have a quality offensive line, and that's where some of the lingering concerns still exist, but there's still offseason left to add more players at some of these positions and still competitions to be had and practices and development and all that sort of stuff. So we'll kind of keep our eyes on where this offensive line depth chart starts to shake out from here. Obviously, I think at this point, your favorites to be the starters are still the two rookies that we saw in the starting lineup last offseason, but I think it wouldn't surprise me if there's still another addition or two to come on this Bears offensive line, even before we get to training camp. But a couple of additions also brought in at the wide receiving core, another one of these key offensive positions of need that have been a big source of criticism. We'll learn a little bit more about Tajay Sharpe and Dante Pettis and sort of what they've flamed out in their previous roles and what they might be able to do in Chicago next on Locked On Bears. Our partners at betonline.net continue to be the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and information. Of course, even in the middle of May, there are still off-season bets you can make on your Bears. Looking ahead to this regular season, win total over under 7 is where the line's been set. We see Bears playoff odds, a pretty long shot. You can also bet on where they might finish in the NFC North, plus all the other NFL futures bets for MVP, Coach of the Year, Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and so much more. Then you also have the basketball playoffs in the conference finals, hockey playoffs into the second round, Major League Baseball season well underway, even, you know, UFC and boxing fights, soccer, tennis, and so much more. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your wagering information, live betting, esports, and more. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action you need to know. Bet online, where the game starts. Chicago Bears keep adding more and more of these pieces to the wide receiving core. Again, I like this sort of lottery ticket analogy of like, if you just keep bringing in guys that have had some success and maybe you feel like your wide receiver coach and your scheme and your quarterback, whatever, can maybe get one of them to play better than they have previously in their past, even if it's 1 out of 6 that it seems like they've got all lined up in here, that could still be well worth the investment, right? It's long shot odds on all of them, but if just one hits, you have some real potential here. So the latest are Tajay Sharpe and Dante Pettis. Of course, earlier they signed David Moore, formerly of the Seahawks and Jets, Chris Finke from the Chiefs, and even Equanimeous St. Brown is a higher-priced version and more higher well-regarded version, as is Byron Pringle, of guys that you think can be better here. But Sharpe and Pettis are the two newcomers into town. Let's start with Dante Pettis because he was a former second-round pick out of Washington by the San Francisco 49ers, and never really lived up to that second round billing. His rookie season, he had like 450 yards and a handful of touchdowns, and there was some real promise there, but he has never really been able to stay consistently healthy and has never actually played a full 16-game season. He missed all of 20... Or he missed... No, he's just been on injured reserve a few times. I don't think he's missed a whole season. It's Sharp that missed a whole season, but he's kind of bounced around since then. He spent the last two seasons with the New York Giants in what was already kind of a bad wide receiving core that he wasn't able to really crack into all that much. I think he had like 10 catches this past season in, you know, in just a handful of games that he really made actual appearances for them. And I think he was also finishing this season on injured reserve with a shoulder injury. But you still see the skill set of a second-round player with some real movement ability, and he's still only 26 years old. So you wouldn't keep this expectation that he's going to come in and be a starter by any means. But, you know, he was with Bears wide receivers coach Tyke Tolbert in New York, so he's going to know better than anybody whether there's still something to believe in there and something he still feels like he can get out of Dante Pettis. I would by no means think Pettis is any kind of favorite to even make the 53-man roster at this point, but bring him in, see what he can do. Same kind of thing for Tajay Sharpe, the other one. He was a fifth-round pick by the Tennessee Titans back in 2016, and he showed, you know, for a fifth-round pick, even more promise, I think. And he came out right away his rookie year. I remember sort of a breakout player for a fifth-round rookie, kind of like not to the Darnell Mooney level, but that mold of like, oh, like he was drafted in the fifth round. Why is he all of a sudden basically one of your starters? I mean, he had like 40 catches and 500 yards or so, like not quite, you know, Mooney level of like, you know, making his presence and his name known as like the long-term piece. But he was like, he came in the back the next season and was also again sort of a starter for Tennessee kind of in that rotation. But the production has never really been there. Actually, it was two seasons later because his second season, he missed the whole year with injured reserve. That's what I was getting mixed up with the two of them. But his third season, he came back and kind of got back into the starting lineup a little bit and played a few more snaps there and just wasn't able to really be any more productive. The targets were down, the catches were down, the yards were down kind of across the board. I mean, so you feel like there's like, well, there's something there, right? I mean, he's built, you know, 6'2", 195 pounds. He can move pretty well at that size. So he's not going to be the, you know, the full-on burner field stretcher, but can be that big-bodied receiver that can make some plays for you with the ball in his hand as well. So, you know, there's something to like there. He goes to Atlanta this past season and, again, is in their rotation of another struggling wide receiver core and has, you know, 25 catches and a couple hundred yards and a couple of opportunities here and there. But much like Pettis, it's like you would have thought in some of those poorer opportunities, that would have been his time to rise up into something greater. So he could be a wide receiver four. Both of these guys have that wide receiver 4/5 potential here behind Mooney and Pringle and Velus Jones, probably going to be your top three around-ish in that order. And then it's a competition. It's Equanimeous St. Brown. It's Tajay Sharpe. It's Dante Pettis and David Moore and Daz Newsome. And you hope out of all those guys, maybe one of them can be a little better than they have been in previous years of their careers. And there's not like some magic formula to fully unlocking them and seeing, you know, that all of a sudden they're just going to be excellent here out of nowhere. But why not take a flyer on them, right? There's not a major risk there. It's not the type of, you know, like proven production at wide receiver that you would ideally like to surround Justin Fields with at this time. But it's not late round draft picks being brought in and just sort of trying to see if they can develop into something in the long term. These are guys that one of them should be able to contribute in some way and adds a little bit more experience than what they were working with beforehand. Because like in terms of like roster competition, right, you're going to keep at least five, probably six wide receivers. And before you added Sharp and Pettis, you know, your top four, like I said, Mooney, Pringle, Jones, and then probably St. Brown would be your top four. And then five and six would probably be David Moore and Daz Newsome, you know. So I think adding Sharp and Pettis into this mix gives you more legitimate wide receiver fours and fives that have been through this and can be also special teams contributors in this competition as well. Not that a wide receiver four or five is going to be the absolute difference between, you know, winning and losing football games this season, but in terms of like depth and injuries, right? If something were to happen, even if it's just a short-term thing with one of those wide receivers, getting COVID and missing a couple games or whatever. I would rather have a player with more actual, even starting experience, that like Pettis and Sharp. Not, I wouldn't say it's like high quality starting experience, but they've been through a lot more of live situations where the bullets have flown compared to like Daz Newsome or Isaiah Coulter or Simba Webster or one of those guys that would otherwise be thrust into that, right? There's still value in this depth having experience, in addition to then also hoping that maybe you can squeeze something a little bit more out of them. Like the offensive line, if none of them are able to be squeezed for more, you're going to be really lacking in the wide receiving core. But I also think, like the offensive line, it's not a foregone conclusion that the Bears couldn't still add more at wide receiver this offseason as things kind of develop through OTAs and they get to see more of these players in practice and see how things go and maybe see more of the need as it's more visually in front of them instead of just looking at it on paper and having some of the concerns that we do. Now, I think it's sort of getting in the right direction here as far as adding players at positions of need and recognizing some of those needs, which is why it was surprising to see them make the change at the third string quarterback. Is not seeming like something that needed any sort of change, but instead now Nathan Peterman is a Chicago Bear for some reason. We'll check in on that situation and also say goodbye to Jesper Horsted next on Locked On Bears. Locked On Bears podcast is powered by our friends at Built Bar. And I'll tell you what, I'm such a huge fan of, really, I think it might be my favorite flavor now, is their Brownie Batter Built Puffs. They're sort of a limited flavor. They brought them out like a couple months ago, got to try them. They're super delicious. They really do taste like a brownie batter in like a candy bar type form. It's extra chewy, thick, and fudgy, but it's also going to be only 140 calories with 17 grams of protein. It's the perfect like cheat brownie that still tastes like brownie batter and it's just incredible, but also like good for you and loaded up with protein. I do like the birthday cake Built Puffs as well, but brownie batter I think might be my favorite flavor of any product they have made that I've tried thus far. It is really phenomenal. I ordered a box just yesterday and it's on its way and I cannot wait for it to get here. You got to try Brownie Batter Built Puffs for yourself. Head on over to built.com, enter in our promo code LOCKED15 and you're going to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. None of us were surprised when the Bears moved on from Nick Foles this offseason. They tried to trade him, couldn't really find a home for him, and ultimately just released him outright and kind of ate most of his guaranteed salary in the latest effort to clean up some of Ryan Pace's decisions and sometimes financial obligations that this regime has said, sort of chosen now to get out from under him and eat that dead money now to free up more cap space in the future. That was not so much a surprise. But when they still then, you know, they brought in Trevor Siemian to be the new backup to replace Nick Foles, and that's, okay, whatever, like backup quarterback, experienced Northwestern kid. If Trevor Siemian is playing significantly games this season is screwed anyway because you just need Justin Fields on the field. All right, fine. Like he can be a fine veteran mentor with some experience and whatever behind Justin Fields. I'm not going to go hand-wringing about the backup quarterback situation all that much because everything is about Fields at this point. So who, at some point, like who cares? Like I always love to reference the famous quote from, I think it was Clyde Christensen. He was the Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator for a long time under Peyton Manning. It might've been a Tom Moore quote. Who said it's not important? The quote itself is what's funny. There was a reporter, somebody asked him, you know, at practice, how come you're not giving Peyton Manning's backup any reps? Peyton Manning took every single rep at practice during the season. And the coach was quoted as saying, you know, if 18's not out there, we're effed. And we don't practice effed. Of course, he said the actual F word there, but try and keep this a little bit more family friendly on the podcast here. So that's sort of where I'm at with Trevor Siemian and Justin Fields. It's like, if Justin Fields is out there, the Bears are screwed. And, you know, we don't practice screwed, right? We're not gonna worry about that because that's just nightmare anyway. But third string quarterback, why Nathan Peterman? You know, of all the quarterbacks to bring in as a quarterback three. And this is another one of these things that, like, yes, it won't matter in terms of regular season wins and losses. And it won't really make a difference on, you know, how this team performs and any of that stuff. But I cannot come up with any good reason why Nathan Peterman should be your third string quarterback. Usually you can come up with some kind of something of like, oh, well, maybe he could offer this, this, or this. But I don't know that there's anything, period, that Nathan Peterman is offering that Trevor Siemian can't already offer. I mean, you do need a third quarterback under contract in the offseason just so you can have someone to throw with the first, second, and third teams. I do understand completely that you need a human being that breathes and is alive that can throw a football to wide receivers at practice. Yes, Nathan Peterman checks all of those boxes for sure. But the bigger question then is why him as that guy? What is the advantage to having Nathan Peterman as your third string quarterback? I mean, we all know, and perhaps unfairly, Nathan Peterman is a meme for having a 0.0 passer rating and throwing five interceptions of the first half of his debut in 2018. But beyond the jokes and the memes and the laughs at Nathan Peterman's expense, which I do kind of feel bad for the guy, and I don't wish him poor luck or career failure in any way, shape, or form. I'm sure he's probably a fine human being who deserves whatever money he can earn from NFL teams, by all means. But he's never shown at any point in the NFL even like a flash of like, oh, there's something special. Like, ooh, what if we could get more of that out of Nathan Peterman? That throw right there, downfield, 40 yards on a rope, touchdown, right? Like, he doesn't have the cannon arm or the great accuracy or even like mobility to be like, you know, another running quarterback to practice with, right? There's just nothing that stands out as being like value for this Bears team as their third string quarterback. Like, the third string quarterback is an unimportant position, so it doesn't really matter that much, but I would just so much rather have, first of all, any quarterback that offered me any sort of anything, but more importantly, any kind of young quarterback that could develop, that could have some sort of untapped potential, could have some sort of unknown that you're still trying to figure out. I don't think we're still trying to figure out whether Nathan Peterman can be any good. So why not have, like, the quarterback they released to sign Nathan Peterman was a quarterback by the name of Ryan Willis, who I know very little about, but that's sort of what's intriguing about him, right? He was undrafted in 2020, I think, out of Virginia Tech. He had played this past, like, a year ago, last, like, the 2021 offseason, he played in the minor league, the Spring League, and was the MVP of their championship team in the Spring League. Bears brought him in on the practice squad this past December, and I think he actually did come up for an active roster game as a backup, but Ryan Willis probably won't ever amount to anything in the NFL, but, like, at least we don't know that yet, right? There's an unknown there, and there's a little intrigue of, like, oh, like, he did have some big moments in not only in college, but then also, like, last year in the Spring League. Like, why not have that as your third-string quarterback just to see? Because you never know if he could develop into not a Hall of Famer or anything, not Kurt Warner, but just, like, a good backup, right? And there hasn't been evidence in anything. There's been a lot of evidence to the contrary that Nathan Peterman can be that. Like, we already know that what his ceiling and floor are, and we know that he's not very good. We don't know for sure that Ryan Willis isn't very good, or any of the other undrafted rookie free agent quarterbacks. I mean, plenty of undrafted free agent quarterbacks have gone on to be at least mediocre backups, right? I mean, at least there's something there. The next, like, Trevor Siemian, right? Just to get somebody in there that you could develop and grow and feel like there's some amount of potential or value there that I just don't see Nathan Peterman having. And it's just like a head scratcher, right? When an NFL team makes a decision to roster a player, I want to understand why. You know, when the Chicago Bears bring a player in, I want to know why. I want to have a logical reason and a real strong explanation. And, like, other than them thinking, like, the one thing I can come up with is, like, first of all, they think Nathan Peterman is decent, which is a scary thought. But, like, the idea of being like, have Nathan Peterman here and learning the system so that if Trevor Siemian gets hurt, Nathan Peterman could then be your new backup quarterback with some experience behind him. But again, why Nathan Peterman for that role versus any of the other potential veteran backup quarterbacks out there. Not that it's a strong, robust group of veteran backup quarterbacks out there, but like, couldn't do any better or any more intriguing or any more potential than Nathan Peterman. I mean, Garrett Gilbert is out there. Even like Josh Rosen. I mean, Kurt Benkert from the Packers. You know, Derek King, I think, was released by the Patriots. Anthony Gordon from the Chiefs. AJ McCarron. I mean, dare I even say Mike Glennon? No, I'm not gonna say it. But you know, like those kind of guys. At least it's not Nathan Peterman of all quarterbacks. So just, I mean, one of those sort of like head scratchers there that I don't fully understand and have not reached a conclusion on. Also, real quick, want to say our goodbyes to Jesper Horsted, the tight end, preseason hero, athletic pass catcher that we all thought had some potential, and we all kind of wanted to see more and more of him on the field these last couple of seasons, and then just new regime kind of saw him at a couple of practices and waived him with an injury designation, so maybe he hasn't been fully healthy this offseason, but just kind of going with their guys. They signed two undrafted free agent tight ends. They've now signed three veteran free agent tight ends, so a whole lot of turnover behind Cole Kmet at that position, so something to keep an eye on there, but no more Jesper Horsted in Chicago, and I'll be rooting for him and hoping he can go somewhere else and prove Ryan Poles wrong and go be a successful pass-catching tight end on another team. I would absolutely love to see it from Jesper Horsted. Whatever happens with the Bears at tight end, with the third-string quarterback, these new wide receivers, the offensive tackle competition, all the things we talked about today, whatever happens, you can be sure we'll break it all down for you right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure you hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Lining up at least one, but probably a couple guests to join me on the podcast next week. Get some other Bears takes, some other draft opinions here as well. Get to know some of these Bears rookies maybe a little bit more too coming in here as well. So I hope you'll keep tuning in and come back for that. Hope you'll make Locked On Bears your first listen each and every day. And then I hope as a result that throughout this long off season, Locked On Bears podcast makes it a little bit easier for you to bear down.